Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
I have been waiting to come here and be with you. Here, from this place associated with painful memories, I would like to begin what I consider a penitential pilgrimage. I have come to your native lands to tell you in person of my sorrow, to implore God's forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation, to express my closeness and to pray with you and for you.
That is Pope Francis speaking Monday at a former residential school near Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, apologizing on behalf of the Roman Catholic Church for their part in, well, colonization, the assimilation of native people. Should he be apologizing for this? And how do we distinguish between evangelism, which may have been the justification for what happened in those residential schools, the ills that happened there, and cultural assimilation? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Pope Francis' visit to apologize for the abuse of Indigenous children in Canadian schools. Dr. Steve Shave of LAMP will be our guest. Eric Johnson will join us after that, a research associate for Mormonism Research Ministry. They have found a photograph, possibly the only photograph of Joseph Smith. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. Joining us to discuss Pope Francis' apology, or as he called it, his penitential pilgrimage for the abuse of Indigenous children in Canadian schools, Dr. Steve Shave. He's executive director of LAMP, Lutheran Association of Missionaries and Pilots, based in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd, for having me.
What is the Pope doing in Canada, and why now?
Sure. And I have to start with, this really is a big deal for the city of Edmonton. I don't think since Queen Elizabeth has been here that I've seen so much fanfare. There's the banners around town, and the streets are lined with the people, and the highways are shut down. So it really is a major event here. And I think there is something to be said about why now, because if your listeners are like me, you probably never heard of what a residential school was in Canada. And then when you look it up, you see that, okay, there were boarding schools there from the 1880s to the 1990s, and then you wonder, why is there an emphasis being placed on it now? And even in Canada, there was a new National Day of Truth and Reconciliation that began, and shortly after that was this visit from the Pope. And for me, the first time I ever heard about a residential school was watching a movie. And I saw kind of the firsthand accounts, real stories of what it's like to be a youth growing up in real remote locations in northern Canada, in Indigenous communities. And one of the things that was discussed, though, was the residential school and the idea of children who had parents who were literally taken from their families and forced to go to these boarding schools. And then shortly after I saw the movie, I started to see the news reports about mass graves. And so these were unmarked graves on location of these boarding schools. And so there's an obvious assumption that for many of the children who died from neglect or abuse, these missing children, that there's no record of their whereabouts. It really kind of came to a head that not only was there abuse that was happening and neglect, but also that these deaths can now be accounted to these boarding schools. And so that's really why the Pope is here in Canada. Again, he's on a penitential pilgrimage, he said, to meet with Native folks here in Canada and basically to be penitential.
Should the Pope apologize for the Catholic Church's part in colonization and assimilation of native people?
I mean, when you think about what actually took place, where you have state-funded schools that are led by churches, and again, children literally taken from their families, not just to be taught about the basics of school or even the basics of Christian education, but it literally was part of their mission model that they would remove any and all of their indigenous culture. We as Christians know that we work through God's means of grace. We work through His sacraments and His word. We don't use force. We don't use violence. And when there's abuse, we certainly wouldn't cover that up. But instead, you know, we should put that out in the open and we should see justice being done. And so in terms of when the Pope did make his apology, I would say yes. I think he took accountability and responsibility for what happened through Christian, again, churches that were leading schools that had this abuse happening. And even as Christians, when we see spiritual practices that don't align with Scripture, we know that we gently teach. We show the dangers of false teachings, but we don't ever do something through violence or by force. And so I think even in any denomination, it's kind of a cautionary tale that we need to make sure that we protect all of our ministries and know the signs of those who are abusive, and that we would never, again, willingly cover something up, but instead that we would want to see justice being done and do everything we can to protect children. So in that sense, I do agree with him that apology should have been made.
Talk a little bit about the history of Lutheran missions to Native Americans. It goes quite a way back, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think of Leah and Frankenmuth in the United States, for example. There's always, in the Lutheran Church, been an emphasis on reaching indigenous people. There's been a desire not just to reach, again, you know, when you think of Lutheranism coming to the U.S., it was mostly from Germany, but it wasn't just to do outreach to Germans in America. They also included missions to people that were indigenous to those communities. I will say, in terms of the history, I don't want to use the word success, but there hasn't been much in the way of making those kind of connections and seeing indigenous people joining the Lutheran Church, but certainly efforts were made there to do that.
So how do we distinguish between evangelism and mere cultural assimilation?
Yeah, I think our understanding, especially with the Lutheran missiology, is that we are to be heralds of this good news of Jesus Christ, to preach repentance and forgiveness. And so we have a good understanding that with that comes justification by faith, and not only that, there is a sanctification, there is a new life in Christ, but that is not the same as an assimilation in which you would try to wipe out any kind of cultural differences. I mean, that was literally a mission phrase that was used, that you would take out the Indian from the child. And to me, I think right missiology says that that is not our desire. That's much closer to what the Judaizers were doing in Galatia versus us understanding how sanctification flows from our justification to give us that new life in Christ. And so I think that's probably the biggest distinguishing mark, is that this is all about God's work in us versus us trying to change someone and to remove their own cultural backgrounds.
The media is sadly taking the opportunity to subtly and sometimes overtly associate Christianity with white culture. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not biblical. We see all throughout Scripture that it is God's desire for all people to come to the knowledge of Jesus for salvation. He implores us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. He gives us a picture and revelation of every tribe, every language, every peoples gathered together around the throne and around the Lamb. And so we as Lutherans understand and recognize that heavenly unity that is there in heaven, but also the diversity of people that will be there. And even in our own Lutheran worship and our practices, we understand that not only is it ancient, but it also is diverse. And so it is certainly not one culture, but it is many, many cultures around the world that gather together to form the one body of Christ, to be the one chalice and to be the one bread together. So by no means do I think that we would ever agree with them that this idea of Christianity is monocultural.
Dr. Steve Shave is our guest. He's executive director of LAMP, Lutheran Association of Missionaries and Pilots. We're talking about Pope Francis's apology for abuse of indigenous children in Canadian schools. We'll talk more about how the Word of God applies to all people regardless of ethnicity, language, and culture next. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. lcms.org/stewardship.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
We want to show people how God's Word and sacraments are relevant to their lives. That's very different from trying to make God's Word and sacraments relevant to non-church people, which is impossible but for us to do because they are already relevant. A great insight from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Meaningful Outreach and Essential Guide for Churches. You can find this Book of the Month at our website, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Meaningful Outreach, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. Dr. Steve Shave is our guest, Executive Director of LAMP. We're talking about Pope Francis's apology for abuse of Indigenous children in Canadian schools. So talk a little bit more, if you would, about how this Word of God applies to all people. It transcends ethnicity, language, culture.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same message that God gives to us through his law and the gospel, and we all need that. But as those carers of souls, we diagnose as those who are witnesses in terms of the law and the gospel and how to apply that practically. And again, when you think about in this particular setting, if you have something where there was undeniable abuse, there were wrongful deaths that took place, there are people who have survivors who are scarred by this, and this isn't just ancient history, this is within our own lifetimes. And then you also look at how they have such harsh living conditions. You know, they live in these remote areas where you can only get there by plane or across the ice on a car. I mean, it's challenging. And so you have this generational trauma that's happening, and that affects in terms of who they are and how we need to apply the law and the gospel. And so I would say, just like anyone else, regardless of ethnicity, language, or culture, you need to diagnose where they are spiritually. And I have to tell you, Todd, my first mission trip that I took was a suicide crisis. In these communities, there is a very high percentage of alcohol abuse. There is a very high percentage of physical abuse. There is a very high percentage of teenage suicides. And so the word of God applied in that setting, it's amazing to me, this fundamental message, just how simple we have to make it, is to tell children, you're not worthless. You're literally explaining to them that God doesn't make junk, but they are precious. They are created in His image. He loves them unconditionally. And the universal thing that everyone needs these days is hope and healing. And so the word of God being applied to give hope to those who are hopeless, to help to heal even those deepest of wounds and to bring healing and reconciliation, it does not matter what the ethnicity, the language, or the culture, but we all need to hear this good news of Jesus Christ and our new life in Him as we gather together as the one body of Christ. But it is amazing how fundamental this message can be to these children who are convinced that they have nothing to live for and that they are worthless, but instead to understand just how precious they are in the eyes of God.
Finally, you are the executive director of LAMP. What can you tell us about this organization?
Yeah, it's incredible. We are a Lutheran LCMS recognized service organization and also recognized by the Lutheran Church of Canada for over 50 years. So for over five decades now, we have been blessed to be invited into the lives of these indigenous communities. And that's mostly because LAMP has always fostered lasting relationships. They're built on trust and mutual respect and love. And so our organization works hand in hand with the Lutheran Church to do outreach to indigenous reserves and villages across northern Canada. It's kind of interesting. Our founder, Les Stalky, he was a bush pilot, and he made a living by going into these remote locations that you can only get to by plane. He saw these smokestacks of people that were living out in the wilderness, and he realized, you know what? I'm pretty sure nobody is coming to them to preach the gospel. So he was able to work with the Lutheran Church, the LWML, and to establish LAMP Ministry, which was all about bringing the gospel, literally as Scripture says, to the very far ends of the earth. That's really what LAMP is all about. And so we work with the Lutheran congregations to do outreach in the reserves. We, again, have a great asset in that the doors have been open to us. And we also invite mission teams. We work with them as well to go up and, again, just to work with these children. It's just amazing. When you show up in a LAMP van in the community, the kids come running, the parents come running, the dogs come running. They're so excited that someone was willing to take time and expense, that they cared enough to come up to these remote communities and to give them the good news of Jesus. And it absolutely means the world to the children that somebody is there to give them that attention and love and to share the hope of the gospel. And so it's just been really great to see that over the last 50 years, even in the midst of all this darkness that I was just talking about and the harm and the hurt and all that, that the gospel has still been proclaimed. The good news has still been cargoed up through plane to visit in these communities. And so we're just very blessed that we've been a part of the healing process and the reconciliation process through God's means of grace.
Find out more about LAMP, the Lutheran Association of Missionaries and Pilots, at the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Steve Shave is Executive Director of LAMP. based in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be with you.
When we return, they have discovered what is possibly, maybe even probably, the only known photo of Mormonism's founder, Joseph Smith. We'll talk about it with Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry next. Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Keeping the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.